I'm talking about strengthening the public health sector to serve the poor, and using Haiti as a case example. I should probably have my Haitian colleague who's here with me at the conference up here giving this talk rather than myself, but I'll let him answer questions if any come up. I did a very, very brief literature review on this topic in PubMed, on Google, and found very, very little that has been published on strengthening public sector health services to serve the poor, and really in any context, in developed countries, developing countries, etc. Now, I emphasize that it was a brief literature search on Saturday, However, we have done a little bit of work on this topic before, and really there's very little out there, especially in journals, etc. There's some books, but there's very little. I'm going to talk really quickly about a World Bank paper that was a sort of summary paper and also a DFID review of programs. So the World Bank assessment that I found was from 2004, and it was done by Dr. Gwatkin, who is actually one of the biggest names that will come up in this topic. And he looked at several different projects to look at whether or not free government health services are the best way to reach the poor. And he came up with the scientific answer of probably not. Seriously, it's in the report, and if he's here, I apologize. I'm really poking fun, but it's very interesting that in a very large analysis of public sector health programs, the answer is probably not, in quotation marks twice in the report. So that was the World Bank position on this. And I think the second quote there that's on the bottom, that the problem is that it's difficult to envisage the availability of adequate government funds to permit significant progress towards a universal coverage goal in most, if not all, developing and transitional economies. So I think they probably answered the question before they asked it in this assessment. I'll just leave that unsaid. The DFID review also was, didn't find a complete answer, but that they did show that major strategies to serve the poor need to make sure that the poor are covered by public health services. In public health services being what we think of as public health, so vaccination services, more population level types of things rather than individual personal services. The second point is that we need to improve the access to and quality of personal health services, so your average clinic service. And then we also need to avoid user fees, and heavy expenditures by the poor, which Rick already brought up. So conveniently, one of our pillars of our model of care at Partners in Health is actually serving the poor through the public sector. So it's a little bit easy for me to give this talk. And I suspect why we were asked to participate in this talk. But anyway, just to go over some of the basic principles of what we do, we try to ensure that people have access to primary health care. We provide free care, which will come up over and over in my talk, as well as education and nutritional programs. We have community partnerships so that communities are very involved in the work that we do together. We try to address overall social and economic needs, not just the healthcare needs, but actually looking at water programs, food programs, educational programs, employment programs, etc. And like I said, serving the poor through the public sector. So basically that means strengthening the public health system, the public sector health system, when and where we can in all the countries that we work in. I'm going to talk today about Haiti, like I said. Just a quick overview map of the Central Plateau where we work. And the numbers in this presentation, I confess, are from 2006. We actually have expanded to a few other sites since then, but they're not necessarily relevant to this talk, so I'm not bringing them in. But the town that we're going to talk about today is Hench. Hench is the department capital, so Haiti is divided up into 12 departments. And where we work is in the central area, a very rural, mountainous region, and Hench is the capital. Population is 70,000. It's probably close to that, I would say. And in 2003, through another NGO and the Ministry of Health, they decided to set up a voluntary counseling testing program in the city of Hench. And that's all it did, was voluntary counseling and testing, the center. And so they had 43 visits that year that they set it up. The director, and also at the hospital itself, there was an ambulatory clinic that was seeing about 10 patients a day, and there's a 60-bed hospital that averaged about 3 to 6 patients per day. And the director of the health system for the whole Central Plateau had already seen the work that we were doing in some of the other sites in the Central Plateau and actually approached Partners in Health, or in Zombie La Santé, our Haitian sister organization, to say, so these are the numbers that we're getting here in Hench, and we're seeing you work in a town, a tenth of the size of this, and get far larger numbers at your clinics, would you mind coming into Hench and helping us a bit? And helping set up, really just setting up the program in this public hospital that you've been doing in other places. So I don't want to steal the fire of the next presenter, so I'm not going to talk too much about using vertical funding to improve general public health or primary health care, because I think that's the main theme actually of the next talk. So I'll try not to steal that. But what we were able to do was channel the resources from some of these more vertical structures of funding, like the Global Fund, like PEPFAR, et cetera, to really improve the whole structure at the Hench Hospital. And so we really refurbished the entire hospital, built a new TB ward. We've been providing a general formulary of medications at all of our sites, but we also made sure that there's power, make sure that there's other medical supplies, that the labs are improved, improving the telecommunications capacity. I'll highlight increasing the MOH staff, as well as increasing the salaries and benefits of the staffs that are working in the clinics themselves. And then also involving a very large group of community health workers in the care of the patients, as well as referral of the patients to the clinic. So today in Hench, we're seeing about 300 patients per day in ambulatory visits compared to the 10. We're doing 600 HIV tests per month. We're getting annually doing about 8,500 HIV tests. That doesn't calculate, does it? We're doing about 85 tests annually, and Maxi actually just used a rate of 1.2% prevalence in one of our sites, but I think it's probably a bit higher in Hench still, because of the urban population, but. We're following over 1,000 patients on antiretroviral therapy, as well as a third are on ART. And we've treated over 400 patients since 2004. And the clinic at Hench has actually become an MDR-TB referral center for all of the Central Plateau, as well as we're treating patients there from a lot of different urban centers around Haiti. Just to show you a couple more numbers, actually quite a few more numbers, and sorry for the lack of photos in this talk. I went through it right before I came up here, and I was like, wow, boring text. We did the same thing in all of the sites where we've worked. We've taken a basic, pretty much abandoned Ministry of Health site where there were no resources. The staff were paying very little. The staff had very little incentive to actually come to work because they didn't have anything to use to actually treat the patients that were not coming to the clinic, because they knew the staff wasn't there because they didn't have any resources to treat them with. So what we've tried to do in every single one of the sites that we've been working in is to try and make sure that we've got the essential formulary, we've got staff that's actually better remunerated and happier to be working there because they've got things, and we've been able to see huge increases in patient visits and clinic visits at all of the sites that we work in the Central Plateau. This is the same clinic, this is actually not even the new clinic that was refurbished, but this is the same clinic at the same time of day with about a six-month period of time when there was actually medication, staff, and things at the clinic itself that people were actually coming to access. Just another thing, just a few other, this just shows in Las Cabas some of the change in patient visits that we were able to see once we started implementing a more comprehensive primary health care program there. It's pretty self-explanatory. Same with prenatal visits. We're not having patients just come in for TB or HIV or malaria. It's actually providing a pretty wide range of care. And also our vaccine numbers have gone up. So these numbers are old too. Let me update them just verbally. We've got about 10,000 HIV patients that we're following in the Central Plateau as of 2007. And we are now treating over 3,000 patients with HART, and the patient visits actually annually have gone up to about 2 million per year. This is in the community as well at the clinic sites themselves, and it's really been a matter of working within and strengthening the system that already existed there before we came, rather than trying to develop some new private NGO system. Like I said, I wanted to just highlight a little bit the importance of increasing the number of healthcare workers, as well as trying to improve their working conditions and improve their salaries and benefits. I think another key thing is making sure that there's an entirely comprehensive formulary there for patients, rather than just having ARVs and drugs to treat the infections that come along with HIV. And also making sure that the labs especially are well provided for. I actually have to thank all these colleagues whose work I borrowed from heavily to put this presentation together, especially David and Lambert and Joya, and also the World Bank and DFID publications for sort of helping me frame the issue, and thank you very much.